Welcome to the Bearing Fruit Podcast, where we will be discussing the simplicity of Christianity. This is a production of Simply Free Church in Lanark, Illinois. Now here's your host, Pastor Glenn Scott.
Good morning. As Easter comes up, you know, you got to kind of prepare, and it does sadden me when I think about Good Friday. I can't help it. I get emotional and I think about him hanging on the cross. For me, I take this very personal. I was bad. Now I'm trying to do better. But yeah, he died for me and he died for you, and we should all take this very personal. And last week I talked about sometimes God sends you into a storm for different reasons. It might be you need it. Might be somebody else needs it. And I think the story of Jesus dying for us is a good one. God the Father sent the Son into a storm to hang on the cross for us. And it wasn't for him. It was for us. So a lot of times when you get thrown into a storm or he sends you into a storm, it might not be all about you. Yeah, we can all get something out of it. But what if somebody needed to see your faith, to hear your faith, the hope that you have, the trust that you have? And this actually is where we can be joyful in all circumstances. And I know this is really hard to do, and I say it all the time, but when something happens, do you ever think, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with this? It's really hard to do. But everybody that's, I know most of you here and what you've been through, and you got to look back and say, he really did use that well. And would you do it again? Jesus was so obedient to the Father that he died for us. Will you even go into a storm for him? If he needs to get something done, if he needs somebody to see how your faith works, needs to hear it, whatever it is. We don't like going into these storms, and we pray that we don't get thrown into a storm. But yet, so much good can come out of it. I'm going to tell you this story about a storm. And you get to figure out who this storm was for, or maybe it was for all of them. But there's this story in the Bible, in Luke chapter 7, that is called the widow's son. And Jesus, let me try to set this up for you. Jesus had just got done healing the servant of a centurion. And this would have been a Gentile. This would have been, you know, somebody they didn't think Jesus came for. And he had left that place, and he was going down the road, and there's this trade route from Egypt to Damascus. Somebody probably knows this better than I do. And after he heals the servant, he takes off, and he comes to this little town that's really off of the trade route. It's called Nain. And I hope I'm saying that right. So Nain would be just a small little town, and it was like a day's walk off of the normal place that they did for trade, that they walked from city to city. So there really wasn't any reason for him to go up there other than this story. And it was kind of uphill. You know, one of these deals where you wonder why he even went there. And I'm going to start to read this to you. And I want you to think about Jesus walking into Lanark. This would have been a little town, this Nain, would have been probably a little town like Lanark. Not really on a superhighway or anything, just kind of off the beaten path. And Jesus and his disciples and a group of followers were going from town to town to town. And they came to this place where they could get off and go to, see, I'm telling you this like a highway, right? They took the exit to go to Nain. And here is what happened. I'm going to start reading that verse 11. We'll go through 14. Now it happened the next day that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. He kind of gets me. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Now there's a lot going on here, just beside the fact that he really had no reason to go to this little town. And I want you to think about what's going on here. I want to give you a little culture and think about all that's happening. First of all, we know the dead man was actually the son of a widow. And this widow would have been in mourning. Even more than that, though, you have to understand that a widow in these times were hopeless. A widow that didn't have a husband couldn't really get a job. I mean, you have to understand the culture. And she would have had no income. And she would have had to have been taken care of. And oftentimes, the son would take over the father's business or whatever he did, just like Jesus was a carpenter because Joseph was a carpenter. The son had died now too. She had no one. And she would have had no hope, no future at all. So she would have been in despair. Just, oh my goodness. I mean, we can understand mourning, but this was her whole life. Her son was the only thing that could have kept this going for them. And now she'd lost him too. And when Jesus comes up and touches the body, you have to understand that this is a ceremonial, unclean moment. This is why they stopped and stood still. Jesus touched a dead man. Was he a man? Was he a boy? Doesn't tell us his age. How about her? You think she was old? You think she was young? Jesus touched a body that they were going to take out of the city. You had to take the body out of the city. And everybody stopped and stood still. This would have been a shocking moment. This would have been a culture flip. Everybody would have been freaked out that this guy just touched a dead body. And the widow, oh my goodness, she would have just been wailing and mourning. At this point, they still didn't really know what was going to happen. Let's go on, 15 through 17. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus, presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea in all of the surrounding region. All right, let's take a couple more minutes here to talk about this. When it says fear, it actually does mean the kind of fear that you're thinking, a trembling fear. And this doesn't go very well with glorifying God. But you have to understand, they were Jewish people in this little town, but to them, when something like the Christ would show up, their sin would have been on them so heavy. They saw him just raise a young man from the dead, and they would have been terrified because of the punishment that they would have deserved. All their life, they've been talking about law, 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 law. And you see, in the law, there is no room for compassion. Law is law. If you do this, this is what you get. But you see, Jesus takes the law and turns it into love. And they don't realize this. They are so scared that they are in the presence of what they call the great prophet. Now, they would have heard about this Jesus, so now I'm sure they're really confused. But they know something great just happened, and they are terrified. They probably think they're going to be punished for what they had done wrong. They were in the presence of God, and their sin was heavy on them. But yet they glorified him. I can understand how this would go together. Instantly, they would have started glorifying him. They could see that this man was a man from God the Father. They called him a prophet, maybe not even knowing that he was the Christ. But they were scared to death because they knew that they would be punished if God showed up for all that they had done. Did Jesus raise the boy to save his life? Now, if this was a young Jewish boy, I don't know how old he was. Jesus calls him a young man, so I'm going to assume that he was younger than Jesus. But it doesn't mean that he was just a child. We all have pictured in our head that this is a child, but this could have been a young man because she would have been so desperate for some sort of income from her boy that she might have really been mourning because he was a young man and not a child. Did Jesus raise him from the dead to save him his life? Did Jesus raise him from the dead so that the widow would have hope? Did Jesus raise him from the dead so that all the townspeople saw his power and his love, his compassion? What about his own disciples? He healed the servant the day before. Today he raises somebody from the dead. And they're terrified and they're glorifying God. Do you think he did it for the disciples? It also says he had a large crowd with him. Did he do it so the large crowd saw? Did he do it for all of them? Or did he do it for you? Can you understand all that went on right here? The whole story is raising from the dead, and everybody saw it. The widow now has hope. The townspeople now have seen a miracle. His disciples would have been in awe of what just happened. And the whole crowd that was following him and his disciples, everybody would have seen this. Wow. What if you saw something like that? How would you react? It says that they were scared, but that they glorified God. If you've ever seen God do anything in your life, did you act different? Did you testify to it? Did you tell anybody? Are you still kind of doubting whether it was a coincidence or whether God really was working in your life? Now, I always say my God is the God of coincidences. I don't care what you call it. To me, it's God did that. And we've seen it lately. It's not just 2,000 years ago. He's working in each one of our lives. We've all had prayers answered. Some are not. Sometimes the answer is no. And I get that. I've asked God for things I shouldn't have ever. I'm glad he didn't give them to me now. I didn't know it at the time, but sometimes the answer is no. Right? Sometimes the answer is you can't handle it. Sometimes the answer is I got something better for you. I've seen all these things. But a good father says no to his children. We've all done it before. Why wouldn't God do it to you? No. Lord, please, I want $1 million. No. I've seen what you did with 100. Right? Is this a parent talking or not? Right? Daddy, give me this. I want this. No. Anybody had like their 10-year-old child come up and say, can I drive? Sometimes we let them, you know, if they're out in the pasture or something. But the answer is no. What was happening here? What was happening in this story? Who needed to see it? And did they go tell anybody? It says that they took it throughout. Well, I can't even think of what it says. The people, the report about him went throughout Judea, whatever. Would you tell anybody? Have you told anybody? Have you acted different? Can somebody see the faith that you have? Can somebody hear the faith that you have? I would much rather see a sermon than hear one. What different are you doing? You're all here because you either believe that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he was, or you're thinking maybe you better check this out because you saw something. Who did you see something from? That could have been you. If you don't act any different, then repentance is empty. Means nothing. Repentance is changing. Changing the way you think, changing the way you act. It just means change. I was going this way, now I'm going this way. I used to do this, now I do this. That's what repentance is. Is there some remorse with it? Well, sure, there needs to be this heartbroken emotion when you give your life to Christ. Has anybody seen your faith? Not just in church. And here I go again. We all got the fish on the back of our car, right? The cross hanging from the mirror, and you're still flipping people off when you pass them. I mean, empty stuff, right? A fish on the back of your car doesn't make you a Christian. Sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian. If I go stand in my garage, I'm not a car. Does anybody know you have seen God do something in somebody's life? Did it come over you in awe that this is incredible? No, I have to act different. If you were caught in a burning house and somebody, a fireman, first responder, whatever, rushed in, saved your life, drug you out, you would worship him for the rest of your life, or her. That would make Facebook. But God does something in your life, and this is why I think we need to be excited in church. This is why I don't want this church to be a dry, dusty place. I want some excitement. I want people to be pumped up and alive. Jesus came to bring life and have it in abundance. Now, if the way you worship is to stand there in complete reverence, I get that. We all worship in different ways. But I can't imagine if Jesus walked in here right now and he walked up here on the stage, I would hope that we would cheer like it was Michael Jackson or whoever you... Right? That women are throwing garments at him and... I don't know what the guys do. I saw Kansas and REO Speedwagon, and I was a mess. I idolized Rush. Well, now you know how old I am. If Jesus came in here and walked up here right now, would you be like, yeah? Or would you be, what do you think he would want? Both? This is why we worship in different ways. But I would think that, you know, if it was me, I would want a rock star welcome. Wouldn't you? Yeah, I'm the only one, right? What do you do different now? You've seen God work in your life. You've seen God work in somebody else's life. Maybe it was for you. Maybe it was for somebody else. Maybe you were the one that went into the storm so somebody else could see it. And then when they saw it, they were in awe and glorified God. Will you allow God to use you that way? We all pray. We pray, pray, pray. No more storms. I don't ever want to go through a storm again. God, you are so good. You can stop this, right? Stop me from getting in a mess. But yet, look what happened in this story right here. Did he raise the son to save his life? Because you see, what happened was he actually saved everybody's life there. Everybody there got raised from the dead. When you are spiritually dead, God comes in and raises you and gives you life again. This was a physical, literal raising of the dead. But everybody that saw and heard got raised from the dead too. We're still getting raised from the dead today. I got a miracle for you. I better not point to anybody. I'll turn around, okay? It is a miracle that you were in church. Now, you can apply that to whoever you want to. Right? Parents, how many times have you prayed that your kids would just go to church? It is a miracle. Most of you are in church today. I don't know why. I think it's because of the music. Because you don't come here to look at a guy like me. Right? Why would you come to listen to me? But the music's good. If the message sucks, the music will bring you back. Right? We got to pay her more money. All of them. I appreciate your talents that you use. I can see you, so I'm looking at you. Have you ever told anybody about church? The church can be fun. The church can be exciting. The church can be alive and not dry and dusty. Will the worship team get ready? Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it in abundance. Do you live life like you have it in abundance? Do you live life like Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit is working in you? Could anybody see that? The best sermon is seen and not heard, and we can each do it. Who was it that said, preach daily and use words if you have to? Aristotle or something said that? You don't know? Well, then I could just say whoever I want, right? I think Aristotle said, I better not say it. Preach the gospel daily. Use words if you have to. So the only thing in this that Jesus said, the only red that was in there, you love to read the red words, right? Are very few. He said very little, but he did a tremendous amount. Was it for the son? Yep. Was it for the widow? Yep. Was it for the people carrying the coffin? Yep. All the townspeople? Yep. His disciples? Yep. The large crowd that was walking with him? Yep. And you. That story is for you. You can connect to it. You can put yourself into it. I say this all the time. That scripture is for you, not for somebody else. It's for you. And you can insert your life into each one of these stories. You were once dead, and now you're not. Jesus is still raising people from the dead. We were all bound for hell, each and every one of us. And those that start to follow him and believe in him were raised from the dead the day they came to him and let him know. It starts today. It's right now. It's here. It's present. And this should be such a wonderful thing in your life. You should just be on fire for what God's doing in your life. I could call out an awful lot of you because I've known what you've been through before. What I did was I actually jotted down some of those that'll know. Brenda Armstrong. God changed her life. Kathy Dimmick's been shot. Sorry, Kathy. Blaze has had a heart attack twice. Shouldn't have survived either one of them. A lot of you have had cancer. Kevin Ackerman got his foot caught in an auger. Doesn't even limp. I saw Kent fall off of a bin. Or maybe I should say the after effect. And lately, Laney, Jordan, Kelly Miller, you were dead. Each and every one of you was dead, and now you're not. Is that exciting to you? Each and every one of you is a miracle. He reached you. He got to you. He's done something in your life. And we just don't go to church on Sunday morning. That's not Christianity. Christianity is the faith that you have, the hope that you have, the trust that you have, and people should see it. I don't mean that you need to go out there and beat people with the Bible. I am not a Bible thumper. I don't do it, and I don't want you to do it because it is not attractive. But if you preach your life and somebody sees it, that speaks volumes. And all it took was for you to do a little something to be excited about. Your life has changed. You're different now. You were dead, and now you're alive. You will never taste death. You will step from one realm right into the next. That is amazing. Don't you want to tell anybody? I do. And I don't want to turn you all into pastors and evangelists and all that stuff. I'm just saying we need a little more excitement, not just in our churches, but in our life. You have life and you have it in abundance. You were so dead that your bones were dry. And now, when you start to move, we'll make those dead bones rattle. You don't understand what a miracle it is that you've been saved. And I'm not trying to make you all... Oh, never mind. What I'm trying to do is get you a little excited for what's happened in your life, in God working in our lives. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes he does more than we can imagine, ask, or think. What are you asking for? What are you going to do with it? How are you going to use it? And sometimes you can just say, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with this. And I think that once in a while. Somebody comes walking in here, and I think, I can't wait to see how God is going to work in them. A lot of us have been to other places before where we didn't meet the mold. We didn't... I better be careful. We get stared at. You don't have the right clothes on. You don't say the right things. They call you out for what they saw you doing on Friday night. And that's not the church. The church is loving. And in this law, in this rituals, ceremony, and law in the church, you have no room for compassion. You have no room for love. And that's what Jesus was all about. He says that the law is fulfilled. And he did it with love and compassion. There is room in the Bible, besides the law, for love and compassion. Why don't we start there? That's what Jesus did. That's what the church should be too. So put these two stories in contrast and then write your own story. He heals the servant of a centurion. It was a man. In the other story, it was for a woman. The widow's son. Was it for the widow? Was it for the son? Who was asking? Who prayed? What do you ask for? I just want to see the church a little more alive and be so very grateful for what he's done. If you're just coming to know Jesus Christ, I want to holler with you. If you've been a longtime follower and have seen what God's done in your life, I want to holler with you too. Will you just be excited with me? Let's pray. Father God, I am in awe of what I see you do and what you have done for me. Father God, I believe Jesus is exactly who he said he was, and I needed him so bad because I was a bad sinner, and I still do. But your love and your compassion is amazing. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And guide me along with your Holy Spirit to do the best that I can. I will fail you again, Father, but your compassion is that powerful. Your grace is good enough for me. God, I'll commit my life to doing the Lord's work the best that I can. And I will consider myself saved. Saved from torment. A loving child of God. It's in your name I pray. Amen.